Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, in the last two messages, we have been talking about why people may not receive blessings from the hand of the Lord. That is, God is said to bless people. We have established that the Bible says that God is good. He said, I know the plans that I have towards you. We have established that God is always trying to pour blessings into the lives of his people. And that God never withholds back anything if he knows it is good. Just imagine that Jesus said that it is a sin for you to see your neighbor that has a need, and you have the ability to meet that need, yet you tell the man to go and come tomorrow. Are you getting the point? Therefore, it makes sense that if we, being evil, Jesus said, know how to give good gifts to people, how much more our Heavenly Father. It means that if God commands such a thing, therefore he himself is more than ready all the time to pour blessings into the lives of people. And that is an established fact. We have also seen that despite the fact that God is so willing and is so able, now let me just say that again, God's willingness to him, that people recognize that he's willing, is more important than for people to recognize that he's able. Do you understand? Because everybody knows that once you mention the name God, all right, we know that he can do anything. But so what a lot of people have a problem with is to decide whether God is willing to do it. That's why the leper came to Jesus Christ. He said, if you are willing, then you can cleanse me. And he told the man, I am willing, be cleansed. Are you getting my point? That is, God is always willing to give. Now, despite the fact that God is always willing to give, we find that a lot of times people ask something from God, yet they don't get it. Are you following what I'm saying? It is not because God does not want to give all the time, because although there are times that because of people's attitudes and the very things they are asking for, God may not be willing to give those things. You cannot wake up in the morning and pray that your neighbor should die. I mean, God is not likely to answer you about that. All right, but a lot of things that he wants to give to people, that he's willing to give them, all right, they don't experience the gifts in their lives. And we said there are many reasons. There are very many reasons. That the Bible says that the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot deliver or impart a blessing, but that the iniquity of people put them in a place where it appears to them as if God's hand cannot reach that place. And that was why the first time what I established was the necessity for cleansing with the blood of Jesus, why we should be introduced to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, last week I explained that one of the major things that would hinder us from receiving the blessing that God wants to give us is when we make idols, when there are idols in our hearts. You see, for God is so important. He said concerning Jacob in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, he said, the Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign god or other god with him. That is, what he was saying is that before God could pour his blessing upon Jacob or upon Israel, it was important to God that every foreign god was taken away from his life. So last week I explained what I meant by idols or foreign gods. That when we use the name God, it's a title actually that the God, creator of the heavens and the earth, bears. So when you say God, you are describing functions that he performs in the lives of people. For example, if you are talking about promotion in life, the Bible says that not from the east, nor the west, nor from the south, the exaltation or promotion come, but God is judge. He lifts up one and brings out another. What you are saying is that the ability to lift up one and bring down another, despite the circumstances or the place where he's coming from, which is what east and west and then south represents respectively, what you are saying is that that person who can do that is the person who is God. So when you ascribe that function to any other person than the true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you are worshiping or serving another God or an idol. And there are different idols that people have in their minds. Number one, we talked about the idol of nations, which is very common in our society today. A lot of people believe that the key to their breakthrough is when I get the opportunity to go into another country. It's the key to my breakthrough is when finally I have another nation recognizing me as their citizen. He said, then I will indeed break through. So everything that the fellow wants to achieve in this nation, he's tying it to when he'll be able to get to a foreign country. So maybe in his heart, he has dreamt that one day I will build a house for my father, and all he's thinking about is that the day I'm going to do that, it will be because I have finally gotten to South Africa, I have finally gotten to America, I have finally gotten to the United Kingdom. When in reality, God is saying that the ability to do good things is not found in a foreign country. That the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. Wherever you might call upon God from, the Bible makes it very clear to us that there is nothing. The Bible says that in him there is no variableness or shadow of turning. What that means is that his ability is not affected by the circumstances around. Are you getting my point? That is, instead of waiting till you get to a far place to be able to do good things, you sit down where you are and pray to God. And if God locates you to a far place and does good things from there, fine. But one thing is sure, he can do good things from anywhere. If you don't recognize that, then you are going to have a problem receiving the blessing of God. Because sometimes the blessing of God is tied to your geographical location. Let me explain what I'm going to say here before you misunderstand me. That is, if God calls you to a particular place and you locate yourself to another place, it's like somebody who's been sent on an assignment. If your boss sent you somewhere, said, go to Lagos, do this for me. Before you get there, I will have sent money. And instead of going to Lagos, you decide that Port Harcourt is the easiest place to get to. You go to Port Harcourt, you get there, you start asking for money. And the man says, I have sent your money to Lagos. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, the ability to provide, as far as your boss is concerned, is not tied to whether you are in Lagos or you are in Port Harcourt. But he has decided that you should go and do that assignment in Lagos. And it's only when you get to Lagos that you find the provision that he has actually made ready for you. You are getting what I'm trying to say? That is why it's so important. But if you make an idol of a particular place, you will get to a place where the good Lord, that is your boss in this situation, has not put your supplies. He has not kept your provision there. But you have gone there because you have an erroneous attitude in your mind that this is the only place that God can bring this thing from. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? It's so important. I explained that one last week. That's talking about the idol of places. Another idol that people have in their mind is the idol of men. And I'm going to go on from that one today because it's very important. Now, so I was saying that another idol that people have in their minds is the idol of people, that is human beings, that is a belief that if somebody shows me favor, then I am favored. And that is the key to my breakthrough. That's the key to my blessing. That's the key to my prosperity. When it's not actually like that, let me explain this here. When God is going to bless you, most likely he will use somebody, but you don't know the person that God is going to use. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to this. You don't know the person that God is going to use. Therefore, you must never look at one person as this is the person that God is going to use. That will be the person that will really, really disappoint you. And that is the reason why a lot of people are offended in life. Because in your life, you have looked up to a particular person, and the time of your need, you go to that person, and the person is either unable to help, which is actually the thing in most cases, or is unwilling to help. And so you now get offended. And that's why we're going to see that today, why Jesus said that when you pray, forgive. Because the reason why you have not forgiven is because somebody has offended you. And the reason why the person offended you is because you had an expectation of him which he did not meet up to. Are you getting my point? You'll be surprised at where God can help people from. There's a story somebody told me many years ago, a true story which happened here. A young man for a long time was struggling, wanted to get admission, and he didn't meet the cutoff mark for JAMB for everybody. But as you know, in admissions, there are other factors that are used to lower cutoff points for somebody. For example, the area you have come from and all of that. Now, he had tried his best, and he never really, you know, he couldn't make it. Now, there was a particular man who he used to go and see. This guy didn't look like anybody. The man had a little shop somewhere in the market. I think the man was selling books or something. So one day the guy was looking dejected. This man happens to be from his local government area or from his village. So the man saw him and said, what is your problem? And he explained to him that, listen, I've been trying to get admission into this university and I have not been able to do it. I didn't make the regular cutoff and I was hoping that I would be able to get in another way. And the man looked at him and said, you're a very foolish boy. That all this while you have been coming here, you never mentioned to me that you had this problem. Do you understand my point? And he told him, come. He put the boy on his bike and drove him to the vice chancellor's house. Knocked on the door and said, good morning. This stupid boy wants admission. And the guy said, is that so? Okay. Took his name and everything, took his particulars, and the boy got admission from the most unlikely place he had ever imagined. Get my point? This really happened somewhere nearby here. Because he had belittled the man, that who would this man know? Not knowing that the man happens to know the vice chancellor very well from the days he were young. Now, he may not have succeeded in life, all right, materially as the vice chancellor appears, but he still knows the man. And he had access to his house anytime. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is why you must never make idols of people. You don't know where God will bring your help from. My help cometh from the Lord. You see, when God wants to manifest, he can use virtually anybody. That's the point. You see, you'll be amazed at the kind of person that God will use. But the lesson here is this. You must never make idols of anybody. Are you getting my point? God used that man today doesn't mean he's willing to use him tomorrow. Are you following me? I remember the story that somebody told me once about a young man who went, he wanted to travel abroad and he went to apply for a visiting visa. And while he was on the queue, somebody passed. And the person's books and stuff fell down. So he just left his position on the queue, went and helped the young lady gather her things that fell down. Gathered everything and helped her, you know, put it in her hand. And the lady kept on going to where she was going. When it was at his turn to be interviewed, who was the visa officer? The same lady he met outside just now. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, God works in different ways. You can never make idols of anybody. Are you getting me? Some people that you think really have the ability to help, they don't. They only appear like they do. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so important. That is why you must put your eyes on God alone. When God wants to bring help, he will bring it from anywhere. Are you getting me? There was a time David killed Goliath with a stone. That was a giant. And there were times that when David needed to kill Goliath, it was people around him, that's other giants, that came and helped him against the giants. Do you understand my point? But the deliverance in every case was still from the hand of God. And Christians must understand that if you call yourself a child of God, expecting good from the hand of God, you must bear that in mind. God can help you from anywhere. Are you getting me? And if somebody denies you help today, it does not mean that you will never get help. You get my point? Like I always say, it takes away the first to establish the second. If the first doesn't work, then God has another second that he has already prepared somewhere. And our eyes must be on that alone. Now, from what I have been saying, I just want to take off from there again today. That is, we're talking about unforgiveness. That is, sometimes we are angry with people because they did not help. When in reality, the reason why they didn't help, we don't know. All right? It could be that it's not because they are not willing, but because they are not able. It's only God that you find ability with at all times. And because people sometimes don't help us, we have a grudge in our heart against them. That's why Jesus said that when you pray, you should forgive. And the next point I want to make here, that is on reasons why people may not receive blessing from the hand of God, is a matter of unforgiveness. Are you getting my point? When Jesus said this, let's quickly read from the book of Mark chapter 11. Jesus was explaining, if you read from verse 22 down to verse 24, the power of faith, and that if you can believe for anything from the hand of God, then you will most certainly get it. And the very next line he now began to say, whenever you stand praying, now he had just finished saying that when you are praying and you ask for anything, if you can believe that you have received that thing, then most certainly you will get it. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Now, what I want to bring out from here, this is this matter of unforgiveness and the impact it has in our lives when it comes to receiving from God. Now, there are two issues I want to emphasize here. Number one, Jesus said that if you pray and you believe, then whatever it is that you have asked for, you will most certainly get it. And the very next line, he said that you must forgive. Now, what was the relationship between what he was saying earlier and what he's saying now? There are two things we draw from there. Number one, the man who does not forgive, he doesn't have the ability to remain persuaded concerning the blessing of God. Are you getting my point? That is number one. And then number two, this is one thing I also have come to understand, that when God has given or sent something to you, normally he gives an angel, and this is a fact, God sends your answers most of the time through angels. That is, when he was going to send deliverance to Israel, at a point in time, he told Moses, I will send my angel before you. Are you getting what I'm saying? There was a time Joshua saw a stranger, and he said, are you on our side or you are against us? And he said, neither. What he was saying is, anybody that's on the side of God, that's where I am. And that was an angel of God that had come to assist him. This is the point I'm making. When you go around in life, waiting for God's blessing, or when God wants to send a blessing into your life, he literally sends angels. But this is one thing I want you to understand. Angels carry gifts which sometimes they find very hard to deliver. Now, this is a spiritual fact. Sometimes they carry gifts from God which they find hard to deliver to people. Now, let me first prove that from the scriptures. You remember the story of Daniel. Daniel prayed, and the Bible says that on the first day that he prayed, his answer was given. That is, God heard him. He continued to pray for 21 days. Now, why did it take 21 days for the answer to get down to Daniel? The angel told Daniel it was because there was a hindrance. Now, you following what I'm saying? He said, the prince of Persia fought me. He withstood me all these days until help was sent in the person of Michael to come and assist me. Now, this is what I want you to understand. God answered him on day one. His answer was given to an angel to go and deliver. Yet, the angel couldn't get through to him. Now, in this particular instance, we see easily that it's because an evil force was in the air withstanding the angel. But let me explain to you, that's not the only thing that prevents angels from delivering our goods. One of them, which Jesus is saying here, is that if he finds unforgiveness, it becomes difficult for him to deliver your blessing. Let me explain the reason here. Because you see, spiritual things show up differently from the way we understand them. That is, in the realm of the spirit, you may appear physically to be praying to God, but where your heart really is facing can be seen in the realm of the spirit. This is what unforgiveness means. I explained something to you earlier. Maybe you wanted to go pay fees. Maybe you wanted to get a job. You wanted to get a house. You wanted accommodation or something. And somebody who you believe very strongly will help you refused to help. Now, as long as you don't forgive that person, what it means is that you are waiting still in your heart for that person to help. Let me explain what I'm saying. If the guy, maybe you need accommodation and you thought he would help, you didn't help, and you are there, you are still angry. If he were to call you and say, now I have gotten a 3-bedroom flat for you, come and take it. Instantly, you forgive him. Are you getting my point? What does that tell you? The reason why you still haven't forgiven him is because he hasn't come through yet. Now, in the realm of the spirit, that attitude of heart, looking up to a man, all right, is actually there, clear. So when the angel comes, as long as your eyes are facing that person in the realm of the spirit, he can't give you your blessing. Do you understand my point? God says, look at my son, he needs accommodation, go and give to him. The guy carries accommodation, his spiritual substance in his hands, which if it drops on your head, it will manifest as favor in the physical realm. It will manifest as money coming into your hands, or it will manifest as an opening just coming up, and you being there at that right time to take it. Yes, he's holding that blessing in his hands. He's just holding it, waiting. Then it gets to your place. But the hand that will have received that in the realm of the spirit is facing a wrong direction. Are you getting my point? In your heart, how that is manifesting is unforgiveness. In the realm of the spirit, what the angel is seeing, that this guy is not expecting anything from God. Do you understand my point? So the thing keeps hanging out. It keeps hanging out. The angel keeps hanging around waiting for you to repent. What is repentance? For you to forgive that person. And the only way you can forgive is when you realize that my help comes from the Lord, who makes the heavens and the earth, and not any human being. Many people listening to me tonight, that is their problem. You have been looking for a job for a long time. God said, I packaged jobs and sent angels to go and give them to you since. But every time you open your heart to pray about the job, first thing that comes up is that that's my uncle. With all the help my father gave him, that man is very wicked. You have not forgiven him. So the angels can't deliver your job to you. New uncles have come up. You know what I mean? New connections that angels want to lead you to. But you are angry in your heart against somebody who you claim that your father helped. Therefore, you are not able. You see, it's not the man you are punishing. You are punishing yourself. Are you getting my point? This is how I like to say my things. And this is a matter. It's based on divine truth. It's based on spiritual principles. See, whatever is mine can't go anywhere. So if it doesn't come from one person's hand, I know it is there somewhere. So I keep on looking to God. I know that if God wants to use a human being, he will use a human being. And he can raise anybody anytime. So the person who does not show me favor in a particular area is not the person that God has sent. Are you getting me? And listen, if God does not send the man, he doesn't have the ability. Because my help comes from the Lord. So the man that doesn't help me, it is because God has not given him the ability to. If God puts my help in his hand, he will have no choice, because what is propelling him is not his willingness, but the power of the angel that God has sent my gift through. Are you getting my point? After all, the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. My help comes from the Lord, who makes the heavens and the earth. He can cause any man to help me at any point in time when everything is set. Are you getting me? Therefore, if my help does not come through a particular person, God hasn't chosen that fellow as a vessel. I will never, God is my witness, be angry with anybody. That you could help me and you couldn't. Listen, I don't need your help. I need the help of the Lord. If the Lord helps me, I am helped. I like what the king told that widow who said that, oh king, help us. The king said, where will I help you from? From the threshing floor or from where? He said, if God doesn't help you, how am I going to help you? Are you getting my point? And then that same king angrily went to the house of the prophet. And the prophet prophesied that by tomorrow, breakthrough is coming at the gates of Samaria. And the man standing there laughed and said, how can? That's 2 Kings chapter 7. He said, how can, if God were to open the windows of heaven, can this thing be? The man said, the prophet looked at the man and said, you will see it, you will not eat of it. Next day, breakthrough came. God sent his angels to go and scatter the barricade, the siege that was against Samaria. And who did he send help into the nation through? Lepers. Lepers who were ostracized. People that they didn't want inside the city. They were so hungry, they said, let us go to the armies that camped out there. If they kill us, we are dead anyway. Even if they don't kill us, we'll die from hunger. So let them kill us if they want. He said, peradventure, they will show mercy. They got there and found that all those men have vanished. Only their goods were remaining. The words of the prophet came to pass, literally. The reason why you are angry with people is that your eyes are not on the Lord. Still an extension of what we are saying about idols. Unforgiveness. You are angry with... Let me tell you this. Human beings are interesting. They are the greatest help that God can give you. Are you getting me? They are also the greatest stumbling block that Satan will use to oppress you. That is, he raises people up to be a source of irritation to you, anger. God wanted to bless Anna. Peninnah was the reason why Anna wouldn't get blessed. Why? Because every day she was angry with Peninnah. Angry with Peninnah until one day. Don't you see, the day she went to pray, she did not mention the young woman in her prayers. And I'm going to go to that next. Talking about human beings still. Because the next thing I want to talk about after unforgiveness is a matter of envy and jealousy. That one is very important. Now, but let me round up the issue of unforgiveness. Let me say like this. You don't need to be angry with anybody. If you have anybody in your heart right now, Jesus said that is the reason why the thing you have believed God for has not come to you. You are angry with somebody. And the reason why you are angry with somebody is because you thought that that person should have been the source of your help. When in reality, the person at all is not. It is God that is the source of your help. I hope you understand that. Anybody you are angry with in your heart, forgive the person. And let me tell you a practical way to forgive people. Don't just say in your heart, I have forgiven this person. Next time, go out of your way to help the person. If it's your uncle, next Christmas, buy him a Christmas present. Are you getting my point? Strain yourself to give towards the person. Because Jesus said like this, he said forgive. And next line he said, give and it shall be given unto you. I like the way my pastor used to say it. He said, forgiving is the thing you do before you give. You get what I'm saying? That is, if you are forgiving somebody, the next thing you do, give to the person. Some people will be very surprised to get a gift from you. I'm not saying you go and do it so that you can heap coals of fire on their head. No. The Bible said that will happen in some cases. But that is not the aim of the person who's doing it. You are doing it as unto the Lord. One of the ways by which you give to God, people don't understand this. One of the ways you give to God is to give to such people. Because when you are giving, it's like a form of sacrifice that you are offering to the Lord as a remission for your own sins, actually. Your sin of unforgiveness. Are you getting my point? I don't seem to be able to leave this unforgiveness thing alone. Let me tell you, there are many people that have hurt you in the past. As long as you hold them in your heart, they are the reason why you won't move forward. Listen, go and read 1 Samuel chapter 16. The first thing that God said to Samuel there, he said, that how long will you mourn Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from being king in Israel? He said, now fill your horn with oil and go. What am I trying to say? He said, fill your horn with oil and move on. That is summary of what I'm saying. He now told him that, look, I have chosen a king in the house of Jesse among some of his sons to be a replacement for Saul. Listen, you will never anoint your David until you have forgotten your Saul. Do you get what I'm saying? As long as you are still lamenting over Saul that did me so badly. He promised me he will marry me. After 3 years, I heard that he was marrying somebody else. Listen, that is a fact. He has just missed a good wife. That's where I see things. No, that's my attitude. Because I say, look, I am a man of God. Anybody that misses me injures himself. It's not me. You get what I'm trying to say? Because I am sure of what God is going to do in my life. Before I got married, I used to tell young women, and I told my wife that I married, who was wise enough to see the vision. I said, listen, it's a great man who's flying a great jet. I have a space for a co-pilot. If you don't accept it, you are the one that missed. It is not me. Do you get my point? Because I'm so sure of where God is taking me to. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, the key to my breakthrough is God. Anybody that comes along has to be somebody of faith like me. And if you don't agree to come along with me, then you are not of faith like me. Simple. Are you getting me? And then why should I be angry? Someone was telling me a story the other day about a man who for the last maybe 14 years or 12 years, he has refused to get married. Why? Because he was engaged to one woman, one young woman. And then one big man used money to steal the girl away from him. Not being a poor man himself, he felt very offended and he felt betrayed. Because he had spent money on the young woman. He had done a lot of things. The person was telling me the story. I said, go take a message to that guy for me. That is a very foolish man. That if you are such a good man,
What God did for you was to expose the heart of the woman who you trusted in as being unworthy of that trust. What you should do is to put up your two hands, wave your hands in the air, and give the Lord thanks. In my heart for a few days, but the spirit of healing will rapidly be poured upon you. Are you getting my point? That is when you think about her, you think about her with mercy. Say, poor girl. At the end of the day, did the rich man marry her? No, he did not. You should feel sorry for her that she has missed the best husband that God prepared for her because of covetousness, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It has made her miss God's blessing. Listen, when you do that, you recognize what God has said, that he takes away the first to establish the second. Are you getting what I'm ready to say? No, that is a fact. That is a fact. There's a young man I heard about that was engaged to a young woman for many years, and after many years, I mean, he tried as a young man, and the young woman woke up one morning and said, I don't marry a girl, and broke his heart. And I like that guy. The guy is in the spirit. He didn't hurt him for a while. Then he rose up and understood the scripture that said it takes away the first to establish the second. The next young woman he proposed to, he married her within 3 months. Why waste time? You get on my point? That is, God has done a quick work, cut short in righteousness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Quickly, God has, look, all the years that the locust ate and the cankerworm and the caterpillar, the palmerworm, all my great army that I sent amongst you, God restored back to him. Double in 3 months, the guy was married. Don't let anybody break your heart and then carry the heart away. You break it, give it back to me, I mend it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Man, I won't let you carry it away. Come on, I won't let you carry it away. Are you getting my point? My confidence, my faith, my hope is in God. It's not in anybody. Therefore, I don't have time to be angry with you. It costs me too much spiritual energy. I don't have time to be plotting that you will regret it. Why should you regret it? Peradventure, you are the man of God or the woman of God who has come to teach me righteousness. After you, I won't trust human beings again. I'll trust only in God. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. People used to ask me this, like, they ask questions like, how do you know who the person that God wants you to marry? I say, listen, on the wedding day, I will find out. If I get engaged before that, that's what I think. The final proof is on the wedding day, they will say, I pronounce you man and wife. So one brother asked me once, he said, did God speak to you about your wife? I said, he did. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating minister said, I hereby pronounce you man and wife. That's the voice of God. Any other one before that day is imagination. If it is God, prove it by getting us married. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. He said, God spoke to me that morning. I knew it was God. And the girl still broke your heart. It wasn't God. It was an assistant Holy Spirit somewhere. All right? I hope you are getting my point. There is no point on earth being angry with people. You get on and move on with your life. There are people who, the reason why they won't break through is that they say, our former leaders have broken our country. Our former leaders, they are angry with former leaders. Meanwhile, the man is a corrupt man in his own heart. He's angry with former leaders who he never met. You don't know whether that so-called former leader did his best. And that's why the nation is still together today. You don't know. There are countries who have suffered worse than Nigeria have suffered. I tell you that one of the greatest things that happened to Nigeria, believe me, is that they fought the civil war, and at the end of a few years, the war ended. And it really ended. It really ended. You go to places like Angola, they say war ended. Mines are still exploding every day, blowing people's legs up. There are places they say war ended. For a long time, guerrilla warfare doesn't stop inside their bushes. Are you getting my point? Now listen, there's no point being angry with those who don't even know you personally. Please, I hope you have gotten the point I'm trying to make here. That is, it is so important. You know, the Bible says it like this, learn to mind your own business. And I'm applying this one like this today. Learn to focus on God and don't worry about other people. And listen, there is nobody who is strong enough to withhold God's blessings from you if your heart is really, you know, clean before God. Nobody. Nobody. All your calamities, you can't blame anybody for causing them. God has just not helped you. That's why he did not get help. Are you getting my point? And there is no point trying to blame anybody for any of the things that may have happened to you in life. I hope you've gotten that point. All right.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.